I thought it was a very great questions and remarks that Hal brought. Is that I was really grateful that this was structured, because I think it was well timed for us to position ourselves as a community, how to feed and see the connections into the work that he's pushing forward. And I do think, well, I love that Larry was here because he helped me understand it in a deeper way, at least so we can see how what a good teacher he is beyond just reading the paper. But I was trying to think about what's next to build that connection and that network to what he's trying to create. And so is there a small working group of people trying to think about that connection or next steps and what that might be? And it may come out of some of the, and it has touches of all the groups, I think, that we heard yesterday, but do we want to make that more concrete? So I guess it's a question.
We could put that as a possible thing to explore today as a group that is specifically thinking about that, like, network. Hal, did you want to jump in?
Yeah, thanks. I thought Peter put his finger on it last night before dinner. In his summary of the work of our group, talking about the need to sort of find ways to embed ourselves within the social justice causes, where OER could play a role in helping them achieve their goals. Peter, you said it better last night than I just summarized, but that maybe if and when this group meets again, or some future iteration of this group meets again, that the next meeting would feature the three or four groups and causes that we've adopted, to whom we want to add capacity with what we can do and how we can be sort of a service bureau to them, rather than in the abstract developing information architectures that we hope that they will adopt, but instead to find ways to envelop them and bring them into our conversation.
It was, I mean, we were having this conversation during our session yesterday, and Hal was articulating even more violently than he did today, like, how is it that we're not in that paper? And I think we began to believe that it's because our work hasn't concretely addressed the issues that he's identified in this paper, even if our work, like the work of particular organizations were represented here, facilitate and are models themselves of the kind of collaborations that are not set up as, you know, whatever structures that reflect the neoliberal be first power hierarchy. So if there were a way to have almost working groups on the topics in his paper, you know, which are identified as topics that he's going to focus on, or it's not only him, by the way, he's convening all these funders and all these
institutions. And let's give us a chance to show what we can bring to that table.
Yeah, and by the example of a model project here and a model project there, highlight the relevance and power, not only of what we can do, but of what can be done if you,
you actually anticipated me, Peter. I was thinking about the idea of maybe pulling together the resources associated with two topics at the end of Larry's paper, income inequality and climate.
Yeah.
And that might be a nice gift from this community back to you with.
So I thought Larry and Sanjay's comments were really helpful in that they very deliberately didn't talk about who we are specifically. So I'm about to out myself to a group of pretty much strangers. Some of you I know better than others. And So where I'm going with this is I am not part of this community, even though I believe very strongly in what you do and what you're about. I'm not entirely sure how I got invited, and I'm so honored to be here. The reason I think that's relevant is because what they are saying and what you are saying both speak to people like me. I actually find this group, and I'm not saying this to flatter you, I find this a very intimidating group because I don't speak your language. I don't know about your projects. I'm not familiar with your work. And yet, just conceptually, I'm a true believer, right? You can count me among your biggest fans. But I feel like what you're trying to do is actually, or one of the things you should be trying to do, and you do it actually very naturally, is get more people like me, outsiders, who are kind of natural allies, but not part of the core group. Like, how is there something I can do to? So people like me, how can we help you with that?
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I kind of like the way they approached their comments, which was really broad, so that I thought, oh, like all these connections were happening in my mind. And not that I didn't love, you know, the first meeting and the meetings I've been in, but honestly, I was very intrigued. I was a little bit lost. And it really helped to try to... Does that make sense?
Yes.
And it resonates with
all,
with
only one in the room.
It resonates with some of the stuff we had yesterday.
So we talked about this in our group yesterday in similar fashion. And when I go out and talk to faculty, my message is a lot different than when I talk to students. It still has the same concepts, but the appeal and the real selling points of why this is important are different for different groups. Like a policymaker or a legislator has a different set of priorities and needs, and I don't start with academic freedom in that realm, right? And so, because that doesn't resonate with the policymakers and the legislators. And so what is the message that Larry needs to hear, or people who are thinking in his space, from us? Because if we're saying in this room, we're doing all of these things, but you didn't notice us, right? So we're not communicating in a way that appeals to this group of folks. And I appreciate you saying that, that appeals to you, you know, that, that the general space is interesting to you. Thank you so much for being here. And hopefully we can articulate, you know, what we're trying to achieve so that more people can understand. But we really have to identify what someone needs to hear and what aspects of open resonate with them and communicate that very clearly to that person and meet those particular needs for it to matter and engage and get them excited about it. Because it, there's a, such an, a range of reasons why people are interested, and lots of people for different reasons. And hopefully everybody has the same overarching goal of equity, but not everyone, right? So what does that, how can we speak the right language to him and the people that think like him?
I think it's really an incredible opportunity to like refresh the sense of mission that propelled the work of the OER movement for so long, so far. If there is a way to organize and focus some on topics like the two Jeff mentioned, for example, like I think that sense of mission is really important for the people who come with us, after us, whatever. And it may not be enough just to be practicing in the abstract principles of sharing. It may be requisite upon us to show people that there can be concrete results around particular issues when we produce properly, publish properly, distribute properly, whatever the right words are for our work, when we, you know, if when we OER, if that's like a verb, when we OER, like that's what we need.
So I think we've got time. I'll just say before we for a couple more comments, and then I want to make sure we take some time to break back out to groups.
Yeah, so I apologize for not being here yesterday, and maybe some of this was covered, but kind of followed up what you just said. But under the context of new deliverables, so, you know, open education or resources, movement, and the practice, and the resource itself has been around for a couple decades now. And yet, and I understand a lot of the conversation is in the context of the educational institutions that are currently delivering education and using OER. But I'm thinking of the broader context, like everybody. Like, if we think that educational opportunities should be affordable to everyone in the world, wherever they are, then that is about the production of these resources, but it's really about the packaging and promotion and the placement of them. You know, remember there was that old Apple ad, like, you know, the best computer is the one that people use. Mm-hmm. And so I just, as an experiment, when you mentioned climate change, I typed in climate change education into Google. People use Google, right? Or we talk to Alexa or whatever to get answers. What did I get? I got a UNESCO document from 2010 that's a PDF. It's old, and PDFs don't really display very well on phones, which is the device that most humans are using these days to get information. So I don't know, I think about things like partnerships with Google, Apple, Facebook, you know, the, like, so go create resources that are appropriate, that are for the technology, appropriate for the time, appropriate for the needs, but that more important than anything else, fit into the use pattern of what people are actually doing with the devices that they're using to learn on. Yes.
I think we approached the conversation yesterday very focused on the practical benefits of openness, and I think there is a lot of appeal to me about that. I also heard from Larry a somewhat interesting push that he's actually, if you want to be engaged in the conversation with him and the work right now, that's actually not the grounds that he's interested in talking about. He wants to talk about the paradigmatic level. And I wonder about, I hear reference in meetings to the principles of sharing and principles of openness, but I actually wonder how strong the intellectual framework is that crosses all open movements, and whether that it might be time for sort of re-articulation, re-evaluation from the point of view of economics or the kinds of disciplines that he's really interested in looking at. And one of the things I'm thinking about is I had a program officer at Gates send, in talking about his vision for where the open movement might be going, send me a paper on a review of design principles for community-based natural resource management that has like a set of principles derived from the way that ecological shared resources are managed that he thought might apply to open movements. And I think like that kind of intellectual work, I wonder how this community could contribute to, and whether there are allies that can talk about the economics of openness or the economic principles behind openness at a higher level.
You know, there's some of this work was sort of looked at around 10 years ago. And I think what happened, for better or for worse, I'm not judging, is that a lot of this economic analysis was so much around affordability and how much can we save as a state, as an institution, as a country, right? And so we lost some of that work, the moving forward of that work around those issues around sharing and collaboration. So I think there are, you can sort of start by looking in the last 10 years. I mean, there are studies, but they're small. You know, they're not the big study that looked at textbook affordability in community colleges. But I think a lot of that was there and would be very akin to that. I'd love to see if you can share that paper.
And Nathan, it's a very provocative comment. And you know what it makes me think of? It's kind of a placeholder. I'll do more thinking about it and do a little more. To the degree there's a thread that exists, it's in the conversations that have occurred over the years that have tried to push back against the notion that the future political dynamics will always be a fight between the right and the left, conservatives or liberals, but instead it's a fight between closed and open, right? And there is a big picture case to be made at the theoretical level for how open operates writ large versus how closed operates. That's the foundation for all of our work, is a sense that open has advantages to closed. And maybe that maybe there's some way to intersect that intellectual framework with, again, loving to see that kind of thing included in Larry's paper, where maybe part of this new paradigm that he's searching for illuminates the advantages of open. And that's in our wheelhouse. That's who we are.
So I think we want to say, Abel, did you want to?
I only wanted to make the point that I think our position is complex and that our work today, and we are on the ground working today, we exist within the existing paradigm, and the arguments that we have to make to various audiences are arguments that are positioned within the existing paradigm, right? And so we have to do that. If we walked in with a completely new paradigm and said, here's the new order of way of thinking things, you're thinking about it all wrong, and this is why you should adopt open education, wouldn't work well. So we know that. We're also change makers, right? So we're also visionaries. We're thinking about better ways to do things all the time. We talk about identifying structures that are not serving populations well and how they need to either be modified or in some cases completely blown up and recreated. And so we're part of moving us to, I think we're part of the conversation to talking about the next paradigm. And then I would agree with my colleagues at the end of the other end of the table that we, a lot of our values have and always have been about social justice and equity and diversity and ensuring that we can think outside the box for ideal ways to do things that are important for humanity, education being an important one of them. But our, you know, we share, I think, the same values that our sister open organizations have, or open movements have. Like, open access resonates with us. We all would agree that it's a good idea for people to have access to research immediately and be able to text and data mine those articles, because we have tools today that allow you to research and analysis in ways that you could never do before. And if they're closed, you can't do science. So if Amy Brandon, I don't know if she's listening right now, but at the last meeting that we had in Maryland, Amy made a very clear, direct statement that said, if you want to do science in the future, it has to be open. Closed science will not work because you simply won't have access to the articles, to the data sets, and to the people that you want to access. And so I think we're in a good position, to Hal's point, to contribute to what the next paradigm should be. And then I also think we're well positioned to exist in the new paradigm as long as that new paradigm has the elements that are our core values, which I believe that's where Larry would want it to go anyway. And so I think that's just tricky for us, and we need to acknowledge when we have to work in those three different spaces. And we should be, to Hal's point, I think we should be a little bit pushy about wanting to be involved in the latter two spaces. We're clearly involved in the first one. Being involved in the next two is a new thing for us.
Peter, you want to wrap us up? Give us the final words?
I think that, just to build on what Cable said and my colleagues, as you put it, my colleagues on the left, any semblance of like exasperation or even exhaustion that we pick up on in this movement or among our colleagues, some of which I've seen, you know, some signs of, you know, in the home place of our own dear queen and elsewhere, is completely like that. We need to like get rid of that because these commitments, as Cable is saying, to certain principles that are universal are both the things that are happening in the world today are more threatening to the work that we do, I think, than ever before, in the sense that as information people, if we can be in that world, or education people, if you look at our current Secretary of Education, or you know, any stuff that's happening, or as media people when you look at the consolidation, but also as people working for equality and freedom and justice and all that, that kind of stuff. And I think we shouldn't lose sight of that. It's not an abstract set of principles that's good to struggle toward as it was 15, 20 years ago. It is now, you know, I'm not saying the sound we hear is jackboots, you know, on the cobblestones outside, but there's something going on and it's not a good thing. So I think we need to be refreshed in our commitment to the work that we do because the alternatives are a real drag.
Can I add one comment?
Final comment, Kathy. Point of personal privilege.
I was struck by Cable's comment and then Peter's as well, because I think what strikes me is we are many folks who work in the current educational systems, which is a reality, but the movement was never initially envisioned to be constrained by the reality. The launch was to think about a new reality and a new way of learning, distributing knowledge, knowledge structures like Sanjay speaks to. So while, yes, there's a clear reality, we have existing institutions we're trying to serve, we have to, I think this would be a time to articulate and align with Larry's agenda is going back to the larger vision, because a new world is creating, is being created for learning. And if we only work within the current system, we have a likelihood of being constrained and replicating the issues that have hindered people throughout the world. And so what I really encourage us that we have to think big. It doesn't mean that we're not working on the ground in the current institutions, but I do think there's this need to hold that space or recreate the space or make some space for those conversations. And yeah, could be a good time to do it. So if we lose that larger vision, we've lost what I think we've all sought to achieve.
Here.
Yes.
Really well said.
Great. So thank you. Rachel Maria, do you want to just run us through what you noted there?
Sure. On new ideas for the group to consider, these are for the existing groups that we were discussing yesterday or might discuss today, about thinking about new processes and structures that are part of this movement, not just the larger structures that are kind of shaping how OPEN is working, articulating how OPEN fits in and connects to larger goals within and outside of the space of education on things like equity, these new paradigms, income inequality, climate issues, bring related and supportive groups into the fold that may be related or touching OPEN but are not directly involved, opening OPEN, and also then reflecting on this larger vision for what OPEN can be and should be moving forward.
Just before you go to that, let's talk about the groups and we can bring those in. So we've got 2 hours left together. We were originally gonna break for lunch at 12:30 and move into small groups now. My proposal would be that we have a working lunch so folks can grab some food and work until one. The way that work could be organized, we have options. So we have the three groups from yesterday. I think none of them got to a perfectly wrapped up stopping point. And in particular, I think the questions that are front of mind or that I might nominate to be front of mind for the conversations in those original groups would be, what are some near-term goals that you might want to accomplish, especially before another meeting in June? And then what resources might be helpful in accomplishing those goals, both in the near term and the longer term. So resources in terms of like people's time and leadership, for example, but other resources too. And then we have the option of rethinking whether there are some of the groups that were proposed yesterday that people want to start to do some work in, or whether any of the new ideas that Maria captured are worth conversation. Just to remind people, the groups that we didn't talk through yesterday were the declaring sustainable open education goals, the case studies of how institutional consortia can support OPEN, and a case study on the future of MIT OpenCourseWare, or maybe more broadly some of the core institutions and tools in the open movement in 2030. So I would love just any popcorn reactions from the group as to whether or not we should just stick with the same three groups, whether there's energy to do that, or whether anyone would like to propose leading a charge on one of those other groups that, from yesterday, or one of the new groups or new deliverables. Does anyone want to be the brave leader of a new conversation?
There's a difference for me between want and are able.
Okay. Good. Well, seeing not a ton of energy for starting from scratch, let me propose that we go back into the groups from yesterday. I would also say that reformulation or shuffling is welcomed and encouraged as long as someone from yesterday's conversation remains with the group from yesterday, so that there's some continuity. And there are some new folks in the room. So for those new folks, if you want more information about where the conversation was yesterday, you can find someone in one of those groups as they start to cluster, or you can come to Rachel, Maria, or me. And let's keep the positioning of the groups. So the group that was doing the experiments applying free licenses to OER, which really morphed into, I think, this question of how can the OER movement be in service of other social change movements in that corner, the landscape conversation, which I think morphed into how can we build bridges to a more diverse range of other institutions can be here, and then the Declaration of Principles group can be outside if it's warm enough now with the sun out, and if not, we can reconsider. Any challenges, amendments, friendly or otherwise, to that proposal for the next hour? All right, we'll come back together at 1, having had lunch and done some more work to share out and discuss next steps.
Good.